I can't believe you asked the congregation to do that. You were trying to get us to give to you. I wouldn't treat a dog the way you treated us. Those words are actual words that were spoken to me by a member of the church in a men's meeting on one occasion. About 2 or 3 weeks before that men's meeting, I wanted to preach a lesson entitled, 7 Things to Consider Before Giving. So that morning I went into the building and I called an elder of the, or I called a meeting of the men. We didn't have elders at the time. And I asked them, guys, could we change the giving till after the sermon rather than before? And the men agreed that that would be fine. So that's what we did that one Sunday. This man in the congregation, he didn't particularly like me anyway, but he didn't really have anything that he could bring up until now. And the way that sermon was done and what I had requested made him mad. And so that's what he said to me on that particular occasion. I can't believe it. You're trying to get us to give to you. I wouldn't treat my dog that way. I'll never forget those words. They're etched in my mind eternally. Folks, that man was speaking evil against me among the rest of the men that were in that meeting that day. He was rebuking me. He was also trying to get me to be smaller in the eyes of those individuals. He was impugning my motives and he was evil speaking against me. But folks, I'm not the first person to be spoken evil of. God was, wasn't he? God created Adam and Eve, put them in that beautiful garden, commanded them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and yet Satan enters into the midst and is talking to the woman, and he asks her, can't you eat of all the trees of the garden? And she says, oh no, we cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because God has said, in the day that we eat thereof, we shall surely die. Now notice, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. My friends, in those words, Satan speaks evil of God, doesn't he? Number one, he calls God a liar. God has told us that in the day we eat thereof, we'll die. Ye shall not surely die. God's a liar. Folks, that's evil speaking, isn't it? And secondly, he says that God is trying to withhold some wonderful, beautiful blessings from you. God knows that the day you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil. God is withholding wonderful blessings. That was a lie, but it was spoken of as evil against God, wasn't it? Evil speaking has been a problem of man since the dawn of time. And sadly, Christians can get caught up in this idea of evil speaking. I find it interesting that James addressed this problem even in the first century in James 4 verses 11 and 12. Let's go to that text for just a minute. Let's read it. Notice what he says. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Pretty plain, isn't it? Now he goes on to say, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Wow. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? The title of our lesson this morning is this: Loving the Law and Our Brethren. James 4, 11 and 12. We're going to stay right there in that text. And we are going to exegete that text, and we're going to be looking at that text from three different perspectives. Let's begin first with the prohibition found in the very first part of verse 11. Notice what James says: Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Notice what he says: Speak not evil. In the Greek language, that is one word. What does he mean? Do not be a slanderer. Do not be a traducer. Do not be a tale bearer. In other words, if you're engaging in evil speaking, quit doing it. That's what he's exhorting those individuals to do on that occasion. Now, right now, we may not feel like we need a lesson about evil speaking. And yet, if each of us would stop for a moment and really examine our lives, really go back over the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and really think about some of our conversations that we may have had with other individuals, and guess what? We very well may have engaged in some evil speaking. You see, sometimes we speak evil of church leaders. We speak evil of individuals who have personalities that are different than ours. We speak evil of those who have different body types than ours. We speak evil of our neighbors. We speak evil sometimes of children, don't we? Sometimes we speak evil of the parents of those children. We speak evil of different races. We speak evil of those who hold different opinions than ours. We sometimes speak evil of different classes of people, whether they be rich or poor, educated, non-educated. And sometimes we speak evil of those individuals who are around us, who might be referred to as the movers and shakers in a congregation. And that's just the start, isn't it? You see, sometimes we speak evil of the cashier at the grocery store. Sometimes we speak evil of the waitress at the restaurant. Sometimes we speak evil of the weatherman. They didn't miss it the last 2 days, did they? We have individuals who speak evil of police officers. We have individuals who speak evil of elected officials, even up to the presidency of the United States. We have individuals who will speak evil sometimes of their own best friend. Oh, now, preacher, I wouldn't do any of that. Have you ever said something like this? Those elders down there don't know what they're doing. Why in the world would the preacher preach on something like that? Who does Sister So-and-so think she is? That song leader, he couldn't pitch a song right if his life depended on it. Notice this one. Did you see how those kids were behaving? Brother so-and-so, he's just a little know-it-all. How about this one? All that couple wants is a handout. I know what we're thinking. You see, we love to justify our behaviors, don't we? And so many of us would respond with these words right here. Now, preacher, I'm just trying to be honest. The fact of the matter is this. We can be honest, and that our words can still involve evil speaking. Did you know that? And as we go through the course of this lesson, what we're going to find too is there are other principles, folks, that are involved in this concept of speaking evil of other individuals. And James wants us to understand, do not speak evil of your brothers. Now here's what's interesting. He's not the first to have ever said that. In Leviticus 19:16, Moses commanded Israel, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. It's pretty plain, isn't it? When you turn to Psalm 50, verse 20, David is talking about evil individuals, and he says this, thou sittest and speakest evil against thy brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter writes the following, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envyings and evil speaking. The Bible does not want us engaged in any kind of evil speaking against others. Now, folks, this involves the training, the bridling of our tongue. We may think something, but we don't have to say it. I always say what's on my mind. Yep, that's the problem. There are four problems associated with evil speaking that James makes mention of in the text. Here's the first one. When you speak evil against your brother, you've judged your brother. Notice what he says. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. Folks, before you can speak evil against someone, the first thing you have to do is you have to bring that individual and his actions into the court in your mind and make a judgment against him. I know what you're thinking again. You see, we always have some answer, don't we? Now, preacher, haven't you ever read John 7, verse 24? Not all judging is wrong. Well, I didn't know that verse was there. Here's what Jesus says. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Folks, the key word is righteous, isn't it? Do you know all the facts? Are you an individual who can look deep into the inner recesses of another individual's heart in order to judge him? Do you sometimes put your own opinions, your own desires, your own personal agenda on a particular group of individuals or a particular person as you make that judgment, folks? When we do those things, our judgments are not righteous. Judge righteous judgment. So before we speak against someone, before we say something evil against someone, folks, we better make dead certain that we have judged that case and that individual with total, complete righteousness. Notice, God didn't put us on this earth to be a bunch of judges running around trying other people. There is an evil individual who is on the earth who does that, and his name is Satan. And Satan loves to judge by appearances, does he not? And we see an example of that in Job, the first chapter. Satan appears before God. God asks him where he's been. "I've been roaming the earth, to and fro. Hast thou considered my servant Job, a righteous man, a good man, one that feareth God, one that eschews evil? Have you looked at him?" And Satan said unto him, "Doth Job serve thee for naught? Thou hast made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth now thine hand, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Folks, one of the things that Job said is true. I mean, that Satan said is true about Job. He was a rich man. God had blessed him abundantly, had he not? He had a wife. He had 10 children. He had a home. He had wisdom beyond the average individual in the earth at that time. He was a man that had all kinds of flocks and all kinds of herds. Yes, he was a blessed man. But here's the evil. Satan said that Job was serving God for the blessings. It's the only reason that he's serving you, God. You've made him rich. You've made him wealthy. If you take everything away from him, there is absolutely no way that he will serve you. Satan was judging by appearances, wasn't he? Number two, when you and I speak evil of another, not only do we judge them, James says we also speak evil of the law. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, notice what he says, speaketh evil of the law. Wow, that's kind of scary, isn't it? You see, this is not something that is done outwardly by the individual. It is something that is done inwardly by the individual. God should have addressed this particular matter in the pages of His Word. And if God had addressed this matter, His law would have been complete. But as it is, His law is incomplete. And if He had really spoken about this, then I would not be an evil speaker for talking about these things. You see, we start what? We start speaking evil of the law. Let's look at an example in the pages of the New Testament. There's something in the New Testament that is referred to as the eating of meats. We hear that all the time, don't we? In the first century, there were idol worshipers. And those idol worshipers would bring sacrifices into their worship services. They would offer those sacrifices upon an altar. After their worship services were over, they would then take that meat to the marketplace and sell it. Would you buy that meat and eat it? Now I got some people going, "No, not me." And I got some people going, "Oh yeah, give me that steak." And folks, that's exactly what transpired in the first century. There were some individuals who knew where it came from, who understood it had been offered to idols. And now here it was on the marketplace. "I'm not eating that meat. If I eat that meat, I'm going to sin against God. And if you eat it, you're going to be a sinner." And there were others who said, "Come on, guys. An idol is absolutely nothing in the world. They are false. They are fictitious. What those individuals are doing is just fake worship, is it not? It's not true worship, and therefore there's nothing wrong with that meat whatsoever. And guess what? It's a little cheaper at Brother Walmart's tent." And so guess what they would do? They would go purchase the meat and eat the meat. And they would also look at those other individuals and say, you know, you're kind of ignorant about this. You need to do some study. You really, really need to eat this meat. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this meat. Come over to my house and eat this meat. And sometimes they would cause that individual to stumble, eat the meat, violate their conscience, and folks, they had sinned against God. Now, that was the situation. Now, both sides are doing what? Both sides are judging one another, aren't they? One is saying, oh, if you eat that meat, you're a sinner. And the other one is saying, oh no, you need to eat this meat. You're just ignorant. And then calls that person to sin. Paul has to address the matter. And he does so in two books, Romans and 1 Corinthians. Here's the interesting thing. Folks, eating of meats was an optional matter. And Paul makes mention of that in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. This is what he says. But meat commendeth us not to God. Whether we eat, we are not the better. Neither if we eat not, are we the worse. Folks, it doesn't matter. Who cares if you eat meat offered to idols or not? It's a matter of what? It's a matter of option. But you see, there was those stubborn ones in the congregation who had all this knowledge about what could be done, and they were going to force that knowledge on their brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul has to address the meat eaters. And he does so in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Listen to what he says. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifies. You see, they got puffed up. They were proud. They were arrogant. We know what we're doing. We know this is okay. I don't care about what you think about this. That was kind of the attitude that they had. Folks, that's a sinful, evil, arrogant attitude, isn't it? But then there was that other group. Ooh, if you eat that meat, you're in sin. You don't need to eat that meat. So guess what Paul does? He addresses them also in 1 Corinthians 8:4. And he says this, for we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Folks, an idol is just what? It's just a carved image, is it not? Regardless of what it's made of, it's just gold, silver, stone, wood, whatever it is. That's all it is. There is no such thing as other gods. They're false. They're made up. They're fictitious. They don't exist. That's why they can't do anything. An idol is nothing in this world. You eat that meat offered to idols, it's not going to hurt you one bit. But you see, they were judging the law, were they not? Or speaking evil of the law by saying, you're a sinner if you eat. God never said that. One group was telling the others, God should have addressed this matter in more detail. And he should let these individuals know that it's okay for us to eat this meat. Why didn't God do that? You see, they had become what? Judges of the law. Sad, isn't it? Folks, God knows more about all matters than you and I do. And you and I need to be very, very careful before we start talking about what God should have said and what God did not say in the pages of His Word. I have no right to judge the law. The Bible's plain, is it not? In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, God knows best, and we better not speak evil against His law. But notice also, remember what we said a while ago? Before you can speak evil against the law, the first thing you have to do is what? Judge the law, don't you? You see, you get into your mind and you say, you know, God should have spoken about this. And that's why James says, not only does he speak evil of the law, but he judges the law. Can you imagine? An evil speaker is an individual who has the gall to say that God should have done this or God should have done that and call divine law into question. God's law is not complete. If God had included this in His law, guess what? I wouldn't be an evil speaker. Be careful about what you say. Because you very well may be speaking evil of God's law and judging the law. The Bible says, for the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The commandment of the Lord is right. Or the statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord are clean. The fear of the Lord is pure. The statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Folks, we better be careful what we say about God's Word. There's an example of individuals judging others and calling God's Word into question, judging God's law. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we talked about this not long ago in a lesson about Miriam. Miriam and Aaron stand before Moses and they make a charge against him, don't they? The Bible says this, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because he had married an Egyptian woman. For he had married an Egyptian woman. And they said, hath the Lord spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Folks, they judged his wife, didn't they? Ooh, that old Egyptian woman. Can't believe he married somebody like that. He didn't just date her. He married the woman. Here's what's interesting. God's law never said that Moses could not marry an Egyptian woman. There were seven tribes in the land of Canaan that God forbid Israel to marry. Those were the only ones that he had forbidden marriage to. This woman was not a part of those tribes whatsoever. And yet they came and they spoke against Moses. Why? Because of this Egyptian wife that he had taken. Isn't it funny how you don't even have to do something wrong and people will still speak evil against you? They'll find something. Look at them orange socks he's got on. They can find more stuff. His left eye's crooked. It's just unbelievable the stuff that we will say about individuals to judge them. And that's what they did to poor Moses. He's married this Egyptian woman. In other words, because of his marriage, he really shouldn't be a leader anyway. But notice they also called his position into question, didn't they? Folks, now they're speaking against who? They're speaking against God and they're judging God. Has God spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us also? Aren't we just as powerful as he is? Don't we deserve to say the things that need to be said as much as he does? You see, when you start speaking evil against others, what do? You speak evil of the law and you judge the law, folks. God immediately intervened in that situation, didn't he? He called them out. He called all three to the tabernacle. He called Miriam and Aaron out from those three. The Bible says that he was angry at those individuals. And when his presence lifted from the tabernacle, Miriam was smitten with leprosy. God's teaching us a lesson. Don't you dare judge my law by speaking evil against other people. That's exactly what those individuals were doing. Now notice the fourth point. Folks, when you become a judge of the law, you quit being a doer of the law. Isn't that what he says? But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Again, God did not put us here to be a bunch of judges. When God put us here, he put us here to be doers of the word. James 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Four problems when you speak evil of a brother. You judge your brother. You speak evil of the law. You judge the law. And you become a judge instead of a doer of God's will. Folks, that's some pretty strong rebukes when it comes to speaking evil of others. James concludes this section with a third point, the position, verse 12. Notice what he says. He reveals exactly who the true judge is. For there is what? One lawgiver. Just one. Who is able to save and to destroy. I find it interesting that he does not name God, does he? But we know exactly who he's talking about, don't we? There is one lawgiver. Who is that? We know, don't we? It is God Almighty, folks. He originated the law. He gave the law. He has perfect understanding of the law, and He knows exactly how the law is to be applied. God and God alone is the true judge of man. You see, only God has the right to approve, and only God has the ultimate right to condemn. Isn't that true? Folks, in the last day, not one of us is going to sit on the judgment seat. Do you know that? Not one in here is going to sit on the judgment seat and judge me. Not one of you. Nor will I sit on the judgment seat and judge you. God will do that. And God will approve. And God will condemn. It is He who has the ability to save and to destroy. I find it interesting that James concludes this particular section with a question, doesn't he? Listen to what he says. Who art thou that judgest another? Folks, that's God talking right there. Do you know that? He could have put it this bluntly. Who are you to judge? Who are you? Are you eternal? Are you all wise? Can you read the hearts of men? Are you the one who originated and gave the law to man? Notice that last one. Are you completely just? Who are you? Folks, that's what we need to ask ourselves before we open our mouths in judgment against other people. Who am I? The psalmist made an interesting statement in Psalm 140, verse 11. He sets forth a desire that every one of us should have. Let not the evil speaker be established in the earth. Folks, there's one evil speaker that's here among us, and that's Satan. And guess what? That's enough. I surely do not need to align myself with that evil individual, do I? Rather than judging and speaking evil of others, we do a lot better if we practice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Are you ready? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? Folks, let's kick the other person off the stand and let's put ourselves up there. And let's do some judging of self, rather than judging and speaking evil of someone else. Folks, this lesson applies to every human being and every Christian. Do you know that? You ever noticed how easy it is just to open your mouth and start talking about somebody else? It's easy, isn't it? Look, 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 look. And we don't care who it is. We don't care who we're talking to. We'll walk into Daly's and tell the cashier about something happened at church. Are you kidding me? He don't care. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's a tall order, isn't it? But maybe this lesson will help us catch ourselves, bridle our tongues somewhat, and not be involved in some of the evil in which Satan's involved in this world in which we live. Are you a Christian, a child of God? Folks, that's the best way to begin tackling the tongue, isn't it? Submitting it to the will of God. If you'll believe in the Christ as the Son of God, you can be saved today. But that belief has to move you to do some things. It has to move you to repent of sins. Jesus said, for man to repent or perish, Luke 13:3. It has to move you to stand before men and confess that faith. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm not ashamed of that. And I want the world to know that I believe that. Because if you won't do that, Jesus will not confess you before the Father. Matthew 10:32. And on the day of Pentecost, when individuals cried out, what shall we do? Peter responded with these words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Those are not the words of Victor Eskew. Those are the words of an inspired apostle spoken 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem to lost individuals who asked what they needed to do to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. My friend, if you'll do that, you can become a Christian today, a child of God today. What a blessing, wouldn't it be? Dear Christian, have you heard from the faith? Do you need to repent of sins? Ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing? Call it.